The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Gross & Schuster.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. If you want to be part of the conversation today, I'm your host, PJ. In studio with me right now is Terrence Gross, an attorney with Gross & Schuster. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Glad to be here. And as you know, I come in with a different topic every week if I can. And I am a personal injury lawyer, but sometimes I don't talk about personal injury, and I'm not going to do that today. It's now October, which means we are now less than 1 month away from our elections. And of course, most of us are focusing on the presidential election. So when we go to the ballot box, we're voting either for Trump or Kamala Harris, and that's what a lot of focus is on. But I want to talk about these constitutional amendments because usually it's an afterthought. So what happens is you kind of watch the ads, you haven't read anything, you may have asked your neighbor a little bit about it, but you haven't sat down and read it, and then you go into the booth to vote, and all they do is give you a blurb. They don't give you the full amendment, and then it's sort of just a gut reaction, yes, no, yes, no. And so I wanted to try to go over some of these amendments with you. I had them all printed out. I didn't bring them with me, but I got them pretty much memorized because I've read them. But before we get into it, I just want to talk to you about a pet peeve that I have about Florida's constitutional amendments. When we look at the federal constitution, rarely has it been amended since they were passed in, 1789? And the ones that were passed were very significant. The 13th and 14th, post-slavery, equal rights and so forth. Even the women's right to vote. Women couldn't vote in our original constitution. Mm-hmm. So some really big amendments that were purposeful. The only one you could say that maybe was a little bit didn't belong there was anti-alcohol abolition amendment that was rescinded. But in Florida, our Constitution has not been as sacred. We've used it for pregnant pigs. 20 years ago, we voted. They gave the sad story about pregnant pigs in crates, and somehow we passed it, not knowing anything about it, but it's in our Constitution. And what you have to understand, folks, laws can be passed every year by the legislature in statutes. A Florida statute's passed by the legislature, by a majority of our legislators that we elect, and they could enact many, many statutes, whether it's speeding or God knows what, and they could be easily amended and changed and whatever. The Constitution is not as flexible. It's 60%, and it can't be every year because it's whenever it's going to be on the ballot. So my opinion about most constitutional amendments is if in doubt, vote no. If in doubt, vote no. Doesn't mean never vote no. We have fast trains in there. I mean, we might want fast trains, but we put it in there, then nobody knew the cost, and then when we saw the cost, we rescinded it much later, because that's another thing, is they're never really good about telling you about the cost of some of these things, and they sound great. Let me go ahead and tackle some of these now. With that being said, let's take a look at the one about marijuana. A lot of advertising about it, and I suspect that a lot of the proponents of marijuana, including Mr. Morgan, from the Morgan Law Firm, probably stand to benefit monetarily if these amendments are passed. Maybe they've invested in the marijuana field itself, or whether whatever. But at the end of the day, this is the way I think about it. I'm 70 years old. So when I was a teenager in the late 60s, early 70s. Did I smoke pot? Of course I did. Everybody did that I knew of back then. I haven't touched the stuff in 40 years and have no desire to. I wouldn't do gummies. If I go to Colorado, I have no desire to do that. But with that being said, and I drink, by the way, do I think what is a worse drug, alcohol or marijuana? I'm going to say alcohol, number one. Number two, what about the kid? Let's say a kid on the street gets busted with three or four joints on him here in Pensacola. He has no medical card, which I'll talk about, but he gets busted. What happens? Well, he gets processed. The officer takes his time and has to arrest him and go to the book him and whatever. Then he's in jail and gets processed. Then he gets out. He's got no money. So guess what? We appoint the public defender. Who pays for the public defender? The state. Where does the state get their money? From us, taxes. So our tax dollars are going to pay for the public defender to represent this guy that's been arrested. He's being prosecuted by who? A prosecutor. Who pays his salary? We do. Who's going to hear the case? A judge. Who pays the judge's salary? We do. He ends up on probation. Who pays the probation officer's salary? We do. And who really profits off this whole thing? The drug dealer profits off the sale. He sold him the marijuana. He makes a profit. No income taxes. It goes to the drug dealer. So I would rather have the state involved, like other states such as Colorado. They tax it. So the state is getting revenue off this situation. And since having, I think under this law, I forget what they said, I think it was up to maybe 3 ounces, so less than a quarter pound. So, you know, definitely enough for your personal use, it would no longer be a crime. So no longer arrested, no prosecutor, no public defender, no judge. And the officers can now spend their time doing what? Arresting people from armed robbery and carjacking and stabbing and shootings and, you know, serious stuff. And not waste all our resources on some kid wanting to get stoned on 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 joints or something. So that's my attitude about it. So I'm not pro-marijuana by any stretch of the imagination. I don't want my grandchildren smoking pot. But again, there's people that do. And again, right now, what we have now with this medical marijuana, all you got to do is go to one of these doctors and say, either I have anxiety or I'm having trouble sleeping. You get a marijuana card, and then you get a vaping pen, and you get your gummies and whatever. So it's a charade anyway. So that's why I'm for legalization. So that's an amendment that I would like to vote for, only for those reasons that I've just stated. Now, I'm going to bring up one that's very sticky. And I almost don't want to discuss it because people's emotions run so high on this topic. But if I'm going to talk about the constitutional amendments, I have to get into the abortion one. Personally, if you want to know the truth, I lean very much pro-life. I'm much more a pro-life person, but I'm not an absolutist. There's a lot of gray in my world. Of course, there's stories of incest, there's rape, and whatever, all these other reasons. But the six-week limitation is sort of a placebo because the average woman is going to have no idea that she's pregnant at 6 weeks, and it's not a viable fetus. So, again, I know there's people out there, and I know I'm crossing the line here because I know people. My wife's very pro-choice. You know, that she's all in this "my body, my choice" language, and she and I argue about that because I say, well, if it's your body, your choice, at 8 months, that means you have an abortion. She goes, of course not. And I said, well, it's your body. It's not born. You know, so Anyway, if we go back to the Roe versus Wade, I think it was the it was either 23 or 24 weeks. I forget which one. And that was based on 1973 medical technology as to what was viable. We now know with preemies that our medicine's gotten better. And a child probably could be born at 21 weeks and survive and live a normal life, given all the medical wonders that we have. So who, what is viable, what is not, remains to be seen. But a lot of states are going to 6 weeks, which, again, a woman would have no idea, which is pretty much equivalent to just totally anti-abortion. I hear these horror stories. We've heard the candidates discuss them about, you know, living babies being born and killed, which is just horrendous and horrible. I'm always for adoption and whatever. But personally, I mean, you've got to vote your heart, folks. It's on the amendment. It's going to be there. It's 60% of the voters. But I am going to reluctantly vote for the viability. So it's up to if and that's the language they're using is viability of the fetus, which, again, whatever modern science, call it 23 weeks, 22 weeks, 21 weeks. Some states have gone to 16 weeks, which actually would be fine to me. But I understand people talk about a life. It's just a personal decision. I can't make that for anybody, but it is going to be on there. But I do want to at least say this, that the people that go out there and say, well, if you vote for it, then they're going to be aborting babies at 8 months and stuff. That's not what it says. It talks about pretty much the Roe versus Wade language. They've kind of taken off on that, the viability. And right now, just depends on what doctor you talk to about what is a viable fetus. Tough subject. I'll move on, but it's there. Another one that probably a lot of people are just going to want to vote for, because people like to vote their pocketbooks. It's very common for people to vote what they think's best interest. And this one's on the homestead exemption. So the homestead exemption, we should all know what that is that whatever your home is worth, the first $25,000, you don't pay any property taxes on. And all houses are worth more than $25,000. Well, now they're talking about adding a cost of living thing index to it, so it could just go up and up and up. I'm going to vote against that, even though it sounds good. You're saying times are changing. We should move off that $25,000 number that's been there for decades. The problem with this, folks, is what's short-sighted is if we start coming off that and whatever adjustments they make, if there's any shortfalls, what do they do? What does every municipal government do if there seems to be a shortage on property taxes intake? They increase the millage. So the millage rate's going to go up, folks. So you're not going to, at the end of the day, so whatever the mathematical number is, if it's a 3.1 millage rate, and because of these exemptions or whatever they're doing, it's going to increase, so our property taxes will go up the other way. So who's kidding who about that? I just would leave good enough alone. If they want to address it in a statute, remember, the legislature can always meet. We elect our congressmen, and if they want to pass a statute that says XYZ, fine, but it should not be in our Constitution. Leave it alone. I just think it could be what I call the law of unintended consequences. And so you think you're saving money, but maybe you're not. And then just the mathematical, just the percentage. And so the $25,000 an even number, you know, it would be pretty hard to figure out and pretty convoluted and so forth. So that's one that I would tend to want to leave alone. So these are just some of the constitutional amendments. I think there's actually 8 out there. Most of them don't mean much to me. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I may have to Google them real quick.
850-437-1620 if you have any questions about some of the topics that Attorney Terrence Gross has covered from Gross and Schuster. You know, one of the things that I'm kind of curious about is that for the states that are legalizing right now marijuana, federal law is still illegal. So how do they rationalize that legally?
What do you mean?
It's my understanding it's still illegal at the federal level, right?
Yeah.
So the federal agency could still take action.
That is a conundrum for me.
Yeah.
And it's eventually the federal government's, I think if enough states legalize it, the federal government's going to have to, for the same reasons I've talked about, is going to have to capitulate. And probably go with the flow because just the enforcement of it and the old argument, well, it could lead to harsher drugs. I just don't buy into because again, alcohol is a drug. Let's be very honest about it. And so forth. Oh, I know some amendments now. I just Googled. Thank you for helping me buy a little time because I had a senior moment there. This is interesting. Amendment number one is whether or not the people that we elect to the school board, it's always been nonpartisan. Nonpartisan mean that they don't have to advertise or you don't know the political party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of inclined to vote for a partisan election because – in a way, politics does enter into it. I mean, as far as what we're reading, you know, what they want to take off the shelves, the books, certain parties have different biases about different issues, whether it's the gay situation or transgender. So I think knowing the political affiliation of the school board person you're elected, I think that's pretty important. It doesn't tell you everything about the person, but I'm thinking, I don't have heartache over that. I don't have any heartache, and I'm independent, by the way. I am conservative, but I'll vote for Democrats if I think they're worthy of certain positions, and so that's Amendment One. Whether or not school board positions should be in a partisan versus nonpartisan format. And I just don't see the problem. Now, when it comes to judges, I think it should be nonpartisan because judges are supposed to be fair and whatever. They're citing all these decisions of life importance, jail time and what have you. I feel a lot different about judges, but on the school board that are, you know, and all the issues that come up, prayer in schools, and all these issues come up, it does become a bit partisan. I really believe. Amendment two. Here's one of these feel good amendments. I don't even know why it's on here. The right to fish and hunt. And I read the whole thing. And I was wondering, who is pushing this? Because right now we have a right to fish and hunt. We're still going to be regulated. I'm a fisherman, so I'm very attuned to what season is closed, when red snapper are open, when red snapper are closed, the length. So all those rules are going to be there. So it's not like you vote for this amendment,
mm-hmm.
and I can fish for red snapper all year round. That's not going to be the law. So it's not going to change. Yeah, all the deer hunting laws and whether you could or how many, if there's an endangered species or how many alligators you can get and if they're tagged. So it's not going to change any of that, folks. So I would sort of be inclined to vote against it only because what is it accomplishing and who's pushing this thing? And we have those rights, and I might fear them being taken away, but there's always going to be government regulation. You just can't have wide open understanding. The snapper, when I started fishing for red snapper in 1978, they were everywhere. Then I did see them wane. I saw them severely wane, and now red snapper have come back big time due to management. I mean, so they've been managed. The net ban. We passed the constitutional net ban. It's crazy how trout and redfish have come back, and even baitfish, because when you were netting back then, it was indiscriminate, and you were killing menhaden and all kinds of fish that you just threw back dead because you weren't looking for them. You were looking for mullet or whatever you're trying to net, mm-hmm. and you bet you had a lot of bycatch. So I don't think we need an amendment for that. I don't understand that. We've already talked about Amendment 3, which is marijuana. And then we got this Amendment 4, the ability of politicians to interfere with private health care decisions, and that's the abortion one. So, it matters how they phrase it. Either side that you're looking at, how it's phrased, don't be fooled. Please, if you're thinking, I'm listening to this guy, but I want to read it myself. Don't read the blurb. Google and get the actual amendment. And if you're a non-lawyer, take your time. It's plain English. You just read it and see if it makes sense or is what you think it is. Because that's half the problem. People just look at the byline or this little blurb.
We do have a text for you, too. It says, just catching the show. Good topic. To me, Amendment 3 and 4, way too vague to allow too many legal issues.
Okay, so 3 is the marijuana. 4, there is vagueness. And let me tell you the problem. That the reader brought up a good thing. I've seen arguments against the abortion thing because of 2 vague words in there. 1 is viability. So it doesn't say 23 weeks or 24, it says viability. Who determines viability? How many doctors? Doesn't say. Is it just your OBGYN? Each OB, one will say, you go to Sacred Heart and he goes, viability is 21 weeks. But you go over to Baptist Hospital, you go, oh, no, it's 23 weeks. So what is viability? So that's a vagueness. So that the texter has a very good point. And then there was language in there, I think on the medical necessity part, like if there's a medical issue, because every now and then there is, mm-hmm. and it's up to, it says a physician, or it doesn't even say that. It says a medical care provider. That's what it says. It didn't even say doctor. Medical care provider. Chiropractor?
Mm.
Physical therapist? RN, they're all medical care providers. It doesn't say a physician licensed under such and such statute. So there is a vagueness. So that's a pretty astute comment. And it has given me some pause there. But also, I really don't like the six-week thing because at the six-week, there are people that really simply can't afford to go across to some other state that has a better, a longer term. Because, again, now that we don't have Roe versus Wade, each state's going to be different. All 50 states are going to have totally different outcomes due to the vitiation of the Roe versus Wade doctrine and case law. So, and there are medical issues. And again, I keep on going over this. Incest, there was this 12-year-old girl that they mentioned in the debates, the vice presidential debates. Waltz brought up some 12-year-old girl that got impregnated by an uncle. So we're out of time. This is Terrence Gross. If you want to call me about our personal injury case, 850-434-3333, or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
You're listening to News Radio.